Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and Friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Good evening. Mike Iosa, your host for Market View. Yes, a very good friend, Mr. Peter Lydis. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ike. How are you
doing? I'm doing well, too. Back in June, actually on June 16th, you gave an interview to Neil Cavuto, and at the time you had said that the Dow would not close below 29,500, the S&P would not close below 36,30. The lows were 29,653 for the Dow, 36,37 within the next trading day, I believe. It was a great call.
Yeah, that was one of my better calls in the last year.
It was, and I'm curious to hear your current thoughts, because when you look at the decline that we have had since the August top, within 3 weeks, several breadth indicators, like the McCollum oscillator, got to the second most oversold reading since March of 2020. Now, usually, if you're in a bull market, these kind of oversold readings are indicative of an intermediate term low. In a bear market, when you get that kind of reading in such a short period of time, usually it turns out to be an initiation thrust to the downside.
It's a very important point to make. Like, you're one of the smart technicians out there that knows that, because otherwise guys will say, oh my God, look where the McCollum this is going to be the greatest buying opportunity in the world. No, actually what it is, it's showing you an initiation of the downside, but we're very oversold. We could well see a rally, but don't hang around too long in that rally.
What are the projections that you have right now telling us?
Well, here's what's interesting. I have some confirmed downside projections. For example, on the S&P, I'm going to make sure these are intraday projections. There are confirmed downside projections on the S&P 500 cash index between 36 down to at least 36.76 and as low as about 35.50. Those are what I call nominal 10-week projections. They remain in effect. If we get a lot higher over the next couple of days, we start getting above like 4,200 on the S&P. Well, let me give you the upside projections for the S&P.
Okay.
The S&P short-term upside projections, closing projections to between 41.32 and 41.76. We're pretty close to that today. Intraday projections in 41.53 and 42.04. We should not get above those upper numbers. On the NDX, the NASDAQ 100, I have a closing projection of 12.844. Isn't it interesting? That's closed today on the NDX right below 7. The intraday projection on the NDX is between 12,949 and 13,105. I didn't give the full range. On the NDX, the closing projection is 12,844 to 13,022. So those are the short-term upside projections. If I had to guess the next several days, I'd say that from some point over the next few days, we start coming down, and then we hold up at least towards the end of this week and maybe even into the following week. But by the time, let's say, September 2021 rolls around, if we're still holding up and if we've still stayed below that 4,200 level on the S&P, 4,205, let's say, intraday, we will be ready. That downside projection will almost surely still be in effect. So all of a sudden, you'll be calling for a decline down to the 36 and change level. So that's like 600 points and as low as 35 and change. And the important thing is that if we get down to those levels, they will almost surely lead to lower projections. And getting what we are now, Ike, is projection-wise, we're kind of in a pyramid down potential. In other words, this projection could lead to this projection, and that projection could lead to this projection. So I can give you a scenario now where the S&P could realistically, over the, just the next couple of weeks, give projections to the very low 2000s or very high 1900s. That's how dramatic a decline I foresee the possibility of. I'm not predicting that yet because I don't have those projections, but I'm saying I see the very real possibility of that.
Peter, before we got on the air, we were commenting on some very unusual readings that we got today. First from the trend, the 10-day trend, and second from the VIX. Like, for example, the S&P is up 1%, the VIX was up 5.5%. This is very unusual. What do you make of this kind of unusual market action?
I think it's bearish, especially the trend. I mean, the trend, as I told you before we came on the air, since I was in the hospital a year and a half ago, I unfortunately have not kept up with my own work with trend and things like that, and I have to rely on other people's numbers. I don't like to have to do that, but I got so far behind on it that at least for the time being, I have to rely on the numbers of others. So the numbers that I'm looking at with the 10-day moving average of the trading index come from TradeStation. I don't know how reliable those data are, and I don't trust them as much as I would my own, but I can tell you that if we truly have a 10-day moving average of a trend below 70, we haven't seen a reading like that for almost a decade, I think. And that, although again, I've got to put another warning sign up, the trend used to be one of my favorite indicators. I mean, way back 20, 30 years ago, I loved trend because if you knew how to use it, it could give you great indications in the market. It's not so much that anymore because I don't, I've seen readings on trend that should mean one thing and they end up not meaning that. So with that proviso and with that warning, I will say that this trend reading or these trend readings we're seeing now, 10-day moving average, are expressing the market. What trend is, as you know, Ike, is it's one of the best sentiment indicators there is. It's not, you don't take a survey of, are you bullish or bearish, or do you think this, or do you think that. It shows what are people doing with their money, okay? And that, of course, is the best sentiment indicator of all. What are people doing with their money? And the bottom line, if we can trust the trend readings, is they're going crazy buying. In terms of the advances and declines, a great amount of money is coming into the advancing stocks on a ratio basis, on a comparative basis, as opposed to the down stocks. And usually when that happens, it's an indication of very bullish sentiment. And of course, that's dangerous for the market.
What's interesting to me is that this kind of unusual reading is coming just a day before the August CPI numbers are announced tomorrow. So perhaps people are betting that CPI readings will be favorable and then we will get another leg to the upside. I mean, that's the only explanation I can give.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. And this is just, again, this is not based on my projections. This is just a gut feeling. I think you're right about CPI numbers, but I think everyone knows that. I mean, we all know
yeah.
the gasoline, you know, gas prices, oil prices, they've come down significantly. So I think everyone knows the CPI numbers are going to improve significantly, at least in terms of trend, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So in terms of trend, they're going to improve significantly. And what I would expect to see is a really good rally intraday off those numbers, and that's going to sound. I don't think it's going to be a final high. We've got to get through this time period of the next, about the next week or so, maybe a little longer than that. But once we get past that time period, especially going into late September and October, I think we have a chance for crash-like movement to the downside.
Peter, anything else you want to add? Any other thoughts, observations?
Can't think of anything offhand. I just think this is going to be a remarkable time period in the market because we've started to see people get bullish again. As you said, we saw very, very oversold readings in some of these indicators, and people are taking that as a very bullish sign for the market. I guess that, you know, the fail-safe that I would have for people is the S&P, which on the high that was registered on August 16th, came up exactly to its 200-day moving average. I don't think we're going to get up to that again, but if we do, I'm sure you know this, but the 200-day MA on the S&P now is, I think, what is it, 42.72? Does that sound right? I think it's right around. So if we start closing above the 200-day for more than a day or two, and I don't think we're even going to get close to it, then I'm going to have to reconsider what's going on. That should not be happening here in the next week or two.
Peter, thank you. Have a great week.
You too, Wyatt.